The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as we normally do, we're going to be talking about the math that goes in to analyzing real estate private partnership syndications, or what I call REPs. And every week we try to focus on, first of all, we'll talk about a couple things in the news. We've had a pretty big week in Washington with respect to tax issues that I want to touch on. And then this week's topic, as it has been other weeks, is just I've always looked at some additional transactions throughout the week, so it sometimes gives me new motivation to help open your eyes to the, or open the eyes of the unwary, as it may be, to the ways of the fox, which is the syndicator, and how they're seeking to help separate you from your money in terms of what you might otherwise expect is coming back to you. And, oh, there's so many ways. And picked up a new way this past week and just reviewing some transactions. And, you know, you have to understand that the fox isn't always trying to raid your hen house. They just don't know better. They don't understand that we're going to figure it out once we take a look at the documents and can determine the various rates of fees, et cetera, and how that causes your capital to be diluted. And so we'll come back to that topic, probably get there in the second segment of the show. In the meantime, I want to add some to the disclaimer that you heard on the way in from the KSEV folks, that this show, at times, well, most of the time, refers to tax concepts, tax issues, perhaps financial planning issues, cash flows, cap rates, net operating income, all manner of terms that you may or may not be familiar with. And I'm going to suggest, instead of you getting all charged up and excited and rushing in, we're fools fear to tread, as the case may be, check with your current advisors, who hopefully understand what your tax facts, financial facts, and circumstances are currently, so you can determine, one, if the information is correct as it relates to your situation, and two, whether or not the outcomes may be possible for you to achieve with the financial resources, the tax brackets that you're in, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to start off by saying that most CPAs are reporters. They're not planners. We're planners. There's a big difference in what our focus is, and we tend to focus on today and the future, whereas the reporter is focusing on what happened a year ago, and that's what they're trying to report. Right now, in fact, if you're dealing with reporters, and you may know that this year's tax deadline is the 18th, and I'm sure most of you think of that as the time that you really should get your stuff together, get your documents to your CPA so they can prepare that tax return. And I'm going to tell you that most of you are absolutely wrong, in spite of what you've been told by other mentors or best practice type folks or the old school membership real estate mentor programs. I know there's one group here in town that has been around for quite a while. It's definitely the old school membership type travel agent, if you will. That's the example I use of where you might go join an expensive $20,000 on up membership platform, because you're being told that's the way you invest in real estate private partnerships. And I'm going to suggest to you, it's much more similar to how you buy your airline tickets these days. How many of you go to a travel agent like we used to, 10 years ago or more, as opposed to you getting on Google Flights or Kayak or any one of assorted other platforms to do your research and ultimately to buy your ticket, whether that's being pushed through to the actual airline website, which is how Google Flights, my favorite, does it, or whether you're buying it through assorted other Orbitz, Kayak, you know, or Priceline, et cetera. So in any event, now, as of a couple years ago, there's many, many options that you can invest direct with a syndicator, either through another platform that has no membership fees, if you're accredited in most cases, or you can invest direct, and I mean directly with the syndicator. So, you know, there's quite a few choices out there. Understanding the transaction takes on a whole new heightened connotation. And again, if you don't do this every day, you will miss things that you'll end up regretting later because you didn't realize that all your interim returns before a sales transaction, for instance, as an example, are treated as a return of your capital, so that when you get to the end, you get less out depending on how much you've gotten throughout the transaction. So, you know, we help educate you on those concepts and others. We will have some training starting after the tax deadline gets by us, where, you know, we will help you understand what it takes to be a sophisticated investor if you're not accredited. And you'll notice I didn't say, or I did not say sophisticated, even if you are accredited, because being accredited is simply a numerical game. Doesn't mean you understand much of anything. It means you've got money. You've got net worth, at least $1 million worth, not counting your residence for the moment. It's getting ready to change, it appears. SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, is putting out a new proposal to up the net worth requirement. Going to have some ability to comment here sometime in April. They're going to release that. And it doesn't necessarily mean the rules will change, but what we're seeing with this administration is when they fail to pass things legislatively, and I guess it's not solely with respect to this administration. They're not that bright, okay? They wouldn't have just figured this out unless others before them had done it. But essentially what they have been unable to get passed legislatively, now they're coming back through the agencies, whether it's the Energy Department on reducing drilling on public lands, assorted things that the Build Back Better Act was going to do and still might. We'll be discussing that here momentarily. If it gets some legs and gets some lift in Congress in terms of possibly passing all or individual pieces of it. But they're not dilly-dallying around. They're going right to the agencies and trying to change things that they were previously heretofore trying to do in the Build Back Better. And the retirement plan investing space is no different. And you may recall the first draft, there's been three out now, the first draft of the Build Back Better went after the whole concept of IRAs, individual retirement accounts, being able to be self-directed and invest in private syndications. If they were offered under Section 506C of the SEC crowdfunding statute, and in a nutshell, that is an offering type that is solely, exclusively available to accredited investors. Anyway, we're going to pick up, talk a little bit about the new budget proposal for fiscal year 2023 and the Build Back Better when we come back, but we're going to take a break here and be back in a few minutes to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Get Upside Gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Get Upside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make $200 to $300 this year.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code DRIVER for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code DRIVER for up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code DRIVER.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection reporting and performance on the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world, and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And speaking of real estate mentor or investor platforms, I was just listening to our ad there on the break. You know, we didn't talk last week, but a couple of weeks ago, the largest real estate, if you would believe their rhetoric, and I do, they are probably the largest real estate mentor platform in the country. They're based here in Houston. You hear them on this station often. They had their annual, I would say their big annual real estate expo event a couple of weeks ago. And it's large relative to others, but there was a noticeable decline in attendance from those that were there. In spite of what management would have you to believe, they're very good salespeople, some of the best you'll ever meet in your life, and yet they can sell things that aren't true, and they do an equally good job of selling the untruths as they do the truths. But in any event, you've heard me refer to Self-Made Millionaire, the gentleman that owns that platform, and I'm going to have to, I think, tweak his nickname that I give him to maybe be Suicide Bomber after what happened on his keynote speech Saturday a.m., which I believe is probably still infused with some alcohol, probably from the night before, knowing him as I do. But in any event, you know, 2 days later, of course, many of the syndicators, lead partners that are members of Lifestyles, whose toast is buttered, so to speak, by that group. Anyway, the upper, I think the management had written some boilerplate apologies for all of them to send out, talking about what a great event it was, et cetera. But, you know, then some comments. I'm going to just read some passages out of one of the emails, and I'm not going to mention names. There's no need to. It'll illustrate the point. But anyway, they talk about having walked out into the hallway shortly after that that keynote, where there were assorted racial slurs, N-words, misogynistic comments about women, etc. And in any event, their analysis is, we're living through a complex moment in time, and matters aren't always clear-cut. But this is crystal clear. It's not a political issue. It's an issue of humanity, for decency and respect for all of us, trying to pave our way and slice a little bit of pie for ourselves and our family. And they go on to say that Suicide Bomber did the right thing by apologizing, although it's highly unlikely Suicide Bomber was capable of crafting the apology on his own that came out. Again, it's management that's writing this. They're all closing ranks. And that's okay, because we that know Suicide Bomber, self-made millionaire, we love him. We know what we're getting. It's kind of like Donald Trump in a way. Only Trump's probably the only one that can get away with this in that context. But again, if you didn't know what you were dealing with, you haven't been awake when you attend classes and you go to case studies. That is the dynamic that you signed up for. And you may not like it. You may not like it when it's exposed to the light of day, to literally the general public, but it is what it is. And so in any event, it's interesting that, they were heartbroken about what happened. And yet, if you're fortunate enough to read the apology from Self-Made Millionaire, you're going to see that it was the number one best event they'd ever had in their history. What he didn't realize, but first of all, he said he actually prepared this set of comments, which is, it's not hard to believe, okay? I don't know. I guess the other way he could have gotten there is what he says. He says that what we didn't all know as listeners, and I wasn't there, so I shouldn't say we, is that he had a rap song in his head that had language that I guess he was passing that on to you. The audience was living vicariously through a message that was, quote, supposed to be edgy, supposed to be somewhat uncomfortable. Boy, I'll say, from what people have told me that were there, and apparently there are some recordings, we'll eventually be able to confirm all this. There is audio, I know firsthand. But apparently this gangster rap music, hip hop, as it were, kind of like the Super Bowl, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, it's Thugsville, basically, is what it is. And it's supposed to make us think about our actions today. This is Self-Made Millionaire, and how they may impact the significance of your life and success. He thought this up. That's what they expect us to believe. He said, I didn't set myself up to successfully deliver that message. No, you didn't, sir. No, you didn't, my friends, as you might say. You sure didn't. And he knows now that those words were hurtful and offensive. Hey, these words have been spoken at every two-day workshop in the history of that organization. So it's not like this just all of a sudden became due to a popular rap music song that many of you didn't know about. That's in his apology too. Anyway, all I'm going to suggest to you is, look, if you want people that understand where the edges are on real estate and understand where the finish line's at, I'm not going to suggest necessarily that this guy should apologize unless he's going to apologize for his entire life. This is what he is, and a lot of us accept it because we understand, sometimes God puts heathen in our life to help accomplish other purposes. So, we're not going to dwell and otherwise disparage this guy because he didn't just start doing something. He's been doing it. And if you hadn't already been praying for him, you need to be. Okay. And let's just leave it at that. But in any event, he does say that his door is open to people that wish to speak to him personally to confirm his sincerity. So, any of you members of that platform, I guess here, there's your doorway, there's your window into his world where you can speak freely and personally on the phone, although he doesn't put his phone number in. He's got his email address, and I've got his phone number. I'm not necessarily going to give it out over the air, but hey, anybody needs that number, just let me know, and I'll be happy to pass that along to you. And I'll give you my phone number if you ever want to call me. Speaking of connecting with me, if you have questions today, I would prefer that you text them to 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. I'm not taking calls today, but definitely be happy to respond to text if it's on point. Okay, so tax legislation. Two things happened this week that could portend of big things going forward, good and bad. First of all, the Secure Act 2 passed the House of Representatives. And the Secure Act 2 is bipartisan, may or may not make it through the Senate in whole or in part, still retains a lot of things that were in the Build Back Better in case that doesn't get through, which that's been embedded into this 2023 fiscal year budget proposal. You might as well call that a tax proposal because that's what it is. It's part and parcel of jacking the tax rates to the highest in the industrial world, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the Secure Act 2 does a lot of things to liberalize and enhance the 401k, the IRA. It's got some what I would say are good things for employees if you choose to participate in the traditional 401k plan, which I don't. I don't advocate it. I advocate the personal version, the self-directed 401 trust. If you qualify, you have to have some self-employment income, which we can help you understand some options there. Almost anyone that wants to can make an effort to have self-employment income. Whether you work for a big company or not, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you doing something, trying to make a profit with a side gig? Many side gig things you can do. You can go out to assorted websites that have suggestions, tell you how to connect with opportunities. You know, it should not be thought of as an impediment beyond the fact that you do need to do something to evidence the intention to make a profit. And again, that doesn't mean you've got to start the next Amazon. In fact, you wouldn't be able to have this plan if you did, because it's limited to a single employee between you and your wife. You can have you and your wife count as one. So in any event, we get the benefit of the same rules that get applied to the big company 401k plans. So theoretically, there's some good stuff here. The over 50 catch-up provision is going to go up to $10,000 more per year. I think, if I recall, it's $6,500 or maybe it's $6,000 now. So that's a great thing for those of us that are old. You know, I'll be 62 next week. And I look forward to maxing out on that number every year. And in fact, as you've heard me here on this show and on the Saturday Be a Planner Tax Mass show, talk a lot about Roth conversions, whether it's 401 or pre-tax 401 to the Roth 401, or whether it's pre-tax IRAs to the Roth IRAs. And there are big differences now between those two vehicles. So check with your advisors, or if you want to consider working with us, go to the baplanner.com website and look at the top right corner. You'll see intake forms. It's a link. Click that. Go fill out the forms, at least the first two there, the client profile and the retirement plan profile. And then after you're done with that, click one link to the left of that, schedule a call. I'll be happy to show you an illustration that looks like the one there at the bottom of the BeAPlanner.com website that shows what your possibilities are if you were to take that money and invest it in real estate private partnerships. And for those of you that say, well, gee, I can't do that because I'm not at least 59 and a half, or I'm not wanting to quit my job, and that's what the HR department tells me are the only two ways I can get to my money. And what I would suggest to you is that's not exactly true. And there's another way that we have executed many, many times that is available to anyone that lives in the state of Texas that's married. regardless of your age, regardless of your employment status, we can help you access those funds. So if you're thinking, boy, this would be a great space to get your money into, I absolutely agree. The rates of return are significantly higher generally in these investments than in market-based index funds, mutual funds, et cetera. And in terms of stability, they've been incredibly stable over the last 100 years. The San Francisco office of the Fed Reserve has a report. I believe it's called The Price of Everything or The Cost of Everything is the name of the report. It shows you the difference between the stock market, the bond market, and real estate or housing. And I think you'll be surprised at the overall performance of real estate up against those other two classes if you take a look at that report. But in any event, what we like to do is find out enough about your facts and circumstances, unlike some of the other gurus and platforms here on this station that talk about retiring you in 5 years, 2.5 years. I'm not going to suggest to you that's never happened in the history of that organization. I'm also not going to suggest to you, since I was around that group for 20 years as either a member or a vendor, still the large majority of my client base is made up of those members. I can tell you I don't have one client that retired in 5 years or 2.5. I've got a bunch that have made it in 10. And the reason is they're using the 401 trust to get there, because what isn't discussed on the air or from the front of the room loudly and often, if you go to the meetings that these groups have, is the concept of just throwing out, we can retire you in 5 years. Nobody asks, well, how much money do you have to get started? Nobody asks, how do you define retirement? Is it the $60,000 a year that they let leak out along the way? They don't explain it on the same show, perhaps, but it's been mentioned. And so that's, I know, because that's what the math works out to. And I'm going to tell you that unless you have $1 million or more and you define retirement as $60,000 a year or less after tax, or you decide you're going to be a syndicator, so you're going to go on through the passive partner training, you're going to get the lead partner training, and then you're going to syndicate, and you're going to have 3 successful transactions in 2.5 years or 5 years. Yes, you could be one of the very few. We're talking 1 out of 100, maybe 2 out of 100 that join that are able to do that. It is possible. It's kind of like that movie Dumb and Dumber. You may remember when Jim Carrey was begging, I forget the actress's name, but she was the star. He was wanting to be her boyfriend, and he kept breaking it down in the sales game. I think we would call that the least choice or the least cost of undertaking this product purchase. So, you know, good salespeople will break it down to, it may be $300 a month, but it's 10 cents a day, or it's 5 cents an hour. Okay, they break it down to the least denomination of the cost. Well, that's what Jim Carrey was doing. And so anyway, he got her down to where if there were a million people left on the planet Earth and he was the only male, might she consider him for being her boyfriend? And she said, okay, well, maybe. And he said, yes, there is a chance. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you hear these stories on Self-Made Millionaires radio show, think of it in that context. Don't think about it in the context that there's a million people, 900,000 of them, are going to retire in 2.5 or 5 years. I'm not sure what he's saying or expression is at the moment. I know it was 5 years. For years, I would hear that. And then it changed after I started challenging the 5-year mark. On the air, he doubled down to 2.5, which I'm going to tell you right now is absolute baloney. There is no way mathematically that can happen as a mainstream average. Could it be an anomaly? Sure it can. Okay, the sky might fall tomorrow in certain parts of the world. It could happen. A little bit facetious there, but bottom line is, it is not the norm. It is an aberration. And just like when you hear all the talk about family and community and faith, et cetera, on the radio, just harken back to the rap music song that was in his head that he just assumed wouldn't demean African Americans, women's, and others. That was the opposite of his intent, is what he would have you to believe. Just remember that when you're when they're talking about retirement or they're talking about a number of things. The problem is you don't know which 50% of what you're hearing is wrong. And so I'm going to suggest to you that's why you want an independent arbiter of fact, i.e., a CPA like Nathan Ross or anyone else that you can find that operates at the intersection of real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, real estate private partnerships, and zero tax math. And before you believe the strategy, which is no strategy, or actually it's a bad strategy, to rip the Band-Aid off, liquidate your retirement funds, or just liquidate as much as you need. I understand that's the new mantra now from Self-Made Millionaire, as if that's any different than what he's been saying, because who among us is only going to liquidate 100 out of $500,000 if you drink the Kool-Aid and you believe, like I do, by the way, that these real estate private partnerships are where you want your money, especially if you're trying to catch up on retirement. Hey, you're going to liquidate everything. That is absurd to think that you're only going to liquidate a piece. And by the way, that doesn't change the math. If you liquidate a piece, let's say you liquidate 100 out of 350, the example on my website, you're still sending money to the IRS, billions of dollars. You know, Self-Made Millionaire hasn't been retiring people one time at a time unless you're referring to the IRS pension plan or the government pension plan, because he sent billions to the IRS. And I don't mean from making a gain on a piece of real estate. I mean by telling people foolishly to liquidate the retirement funds in advance of investing in real estate. It's the most insane strategy, if you want to call it that. Oh yeah, you're counterintuitive, you're unconventional. It's very unconventional when you're trying to plan for people's tax bill to tell them to voluntarily, without being compelled otherwise, to send money to the IRS. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you really want to send money to the IRS, we will help you do that after you've converted your funds, rolled your funds over to the 401 trust, invested in private companies, converted your balance or some piece of it optimally each year at a 30 to 40% tax basis. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. You roll $1 million over to a 401 trust, you invest in private partnerships. With private companies, we get 60 to 70% discounts to value to determine the fair market value that a Roth conversion is then converted at. That means you're paying tax at 30 to 40% of what you would otherwise, as opposed to Self-Made Millionaire's concept of paying, if you were going to convert to Roth or pay just normal income tax, which that's even worse, you're going to pay tax on $1 million. And then every 5, 6, 7, 8 years when you exit that transaction, unless you've purchased more transactions, which means you're not enjoying the money you would be getting off the first one, then you would, again, have to pay tax on that gain and that income recapture. It's essentially a game the rest of your life, chasing the tax write-offs, investing in more and more deals, which that's fine from a tax perspective, but it sure puts a crimp in your cash flow when you've been told, you're going to retire because you're going to have all this money coming in. Well, yeah, you're going to have a lot of money coming in, perhaps, if you get in the right transactions. We agree with that. But you're also going to be sending money out either to the IRS or to another syndicator to buy more transactions so you can generate more write-off to offset the gain. So it's a never-ending cycle. It's like a snowball that gets bigger and bigger. And we hope that the step-up in basis provision that Self-Made Millionaire refers to is still around by the time we pass on. May or may not be. The Biden administration certainly has it in their sights. But regardless, that's not just let's go look up the value today kind of thing and create our step-up in basis, which would have to be reported, at least with today's rules, on a tax return. So it's not like you do it in the dark of night. And if you think you're going to figure out what those values are, we're talking about an undivided piece of real estate in a partnership. It's one of the most complicated types of valuation there is. You're not just going to pull a number out of the air and put that on your estate tax form to generate the step-up in basis for your heir. So there's a lot of little details that don't get discussed on the air. You know, all of us are looking for low-hanging fruit. I'm accused of being too technical on the air. Hey, I'm an accountant. I'm not a sales guy, and I'm not going to give you the unvarnished truth. I'm going to give you the truth. I'm going to tell you when I think the headache is worth the outputs, and the 401 trust is clearly one of those strategies where the millions of dollars, in fact, just look at the bottom of baplanner.com, go down to the bottom of that math illustration, key metrics, bottom left corner, number 5, and I show you where if instead of sending your money to the IRS, $95,000 approximately, it's 94 and some change in year one or day one to get started using what's left of your retirement funds, if instead of doing that, you create the trust or you adopt the trust and then you send that 95 on to a couple syndicators, that money will return using self-made millionaires' own predictions, that money will return between 10 and 30% per year. And I show you what that translates to over the next 30 years of your life. It's a huge number, almost $25 million. And if you don't agree with the assumptions, great, we can talk about that. But let's just cut it in half. Is it still worth a little headache to save $12 million? Or not save, I'm sorry, to create an additional $12 million over the rest of your life for your family's net worth? I suggest it is. By the way, that's pre-tax, so there's got to be some additional planning to help defer or cut that bill, but there's strategies out there that we can help work with you on. In any event, I've gone well past the break. Let's take a quick break, come back in a couple minutes, and then I'll wrap up over the last 5 to 8 minutes that we'll have left. We'll take a break and come back with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BePlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BePlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want to be big dream. Just like me,
with big dreams and faded cheeks.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. We've just got a few minutes left. Well, actually, I guess we've got 15 or so. I wanted to talk about capital dilution. Again, seeing it on every transaction virtually that goes out these days, raising money, and yeah, I get a sense that most of my clients still don't get it when they look at these transactions and they're looking for the fees that are involved, and they see where, oh, gee, you know, here's a deal, you know, $100 million plus deal, big transaction, and it's got a lower than normal acquisition fee, you know, maybe 1% instead of 2%, and yet I'm going to tell you, I think it's a $120 million deal. So you look at that 1% on the front end, that's $1.2 million coming out of your capital It's not coming out of the loan. The lender's not underwriting that. That's coming from the collective passive's pocket. That's a lot of money to take out of a transaction. If that were the only piece, that would be bad enough. And when I say bad enough, I believe in that same transaction, it's maybe a $12 million or $14 million capital raise. So if we're talking about, you know, a $15 or $14 million capital raise, that $1.2 million is not quite 10%. 10% of the collective money being raised is going into the back pocket of the folks that are putting the deal together. And unless you say, well, gee, you know, they've got cost. Hey, all syndicators have cost. Up until 2 years ago, virtually any syndicator took these fees. They would get a promote. By the way, this transaction has a 20% promote, which is the override. So not only are we getting the fees, we're also getting the equivalent of 20% times the $14 million capital raise. That's the dilutive effect. Just call it $3 million. You know, that's coming out effectively of your capital and going again to the syndicator. So it's not like they're not getting compensated. And when you say, well, you know, they've got out of pocket, they've got, you know, got to pay environmental assessment fees, I got to pay for appraisals, I got to pay attorneys. Okay, I get that. And guess what? Every penny of that gets reimbursed at closing. They're not net out of pocket for that. If you're a syndicator, put your big boy pants or big girl pants on. And, you know, if you're going to play in the game, you got to have the balance sheet to sustain it. If you don't, invest as a passive. You know, get out of the way and let's let somebody that does take down the transaction. And, you know, I may sound like I'm complaining. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I will keep directing my clients to transactions that do not have this level of dilution. And again, that's one fee. Then you look into the 0.5% perhaps debt placement fee. Then you add the refinance fee of a 0.5 point or a point. Then you add assorted other construction management fees. Then you add a disposition fee of a percent. Now you're up to where maybe 20 to 25, as much as 30% of the capital being raised is going into the syndicator's pocket as fees. And this is whether or not you even get your money back in most cases. Now, in some cases, some of these fees don't happen unless you get at least your original capital back. Look, you can get that with a T-bill or a CD at the bank. You're not looking to just get your money back or maybe a 1.1 or 1.2 equity multiple, which for those of you that listen to this show on other Sundays, realize that an equity multiple, you take the total dollars you get back on a transaction, regardless of where it comes from, whether it's interim cash flows or operational cash flows, where the rents are greater than the expenses this quarter, or whether it's from a refinance where you're getting part of your capital back, or a return on your capital, depending on how righteous that model's executed. And I'll explain that in a minute. And then, you know, whether it comes out of the sales proceeds, however it is, if you put $100,000 in, you get $200,000 back. That's a 2.0 equity multiple, which is our target every 3.6 years. That's the target. That's when your money doubles. And we suggest that unless a syndicator doubles your money, they deserve none of these fees. They're just doing what a bank might do if they're somewhere, you know, down in the lower equity multiples. And so we don't see that that justifies a reward on day one. We want to see that reward pushed out to the end after you've gotten your money back, because then they've got a reason to be compensated, perhaps, if you believe in the fees at all. I tend to think that in this instant case, $3 million handed to the syndicator up front is a pretty good compensation for just executing the deal. In fact, they're going to get that whether they get you to your 2.0 equity multiple target or not. But what I'm trying to help you understand is that to pay you back the 2.0 level equity multiple on a $14 million capital raise, they've got to generate another $14 million in cash flow minimum. Okay? And so when you've already taken 20 or 30% of that, it unduly stresses the likelihood that you're going to see a 2.0 equity multiple, they're going to get all their fees on day zero, or a lot of them on day zero. They're going to get them at the end. The disposition fee is not if you get to a certain return. No, they solely can decide it's time to sell the property. Their fee is going to come off the top at the end. That's how these fees are delineated. So I'm just going to suggest to you, let the deals like these, structured like this, let them go on out of the station, the train station. There'll be more deals coming through, and there are syndicators out there, I'll help you find them, that are of the traditional mindset that there is no acquisition fee, there is no debt placement fee, there is no capital raise fee, there is no due diligence fee, there is no construction management fee, there is no refinance fee or disposition fee, and you get your money back in a return on capital model. Very important you understand that. This would be akin, if you bought an Apple, you know, let's say you bought a share of Apple stock, just to make it simple, and when Apple splits, and now you've got two shares, when you're executing a return of your capital, like many of these syndicators are doing, it's a very sleight of hand that you really don't understand the impact until you get to the end, perhaps. But it would be like Apple splitting and then Apple keeping part of the extra share. That would be the analogy that I guess I would offer, as opposed to you getting it. It's your investment. When you buy stock, you get to keep the dividends. You get to keep any additional shares that come out off a split. You're not handing part of it effectively back to the syndicator, because what happens is then in the end, when you dispose of the property, if you were being treated as a return of your capital at the refinance round, well, then they've already got that much back to you, so that maybe, let's say you had a 60% refinance distribution, so now they've only got to get you the additional 40% before they can argue, well, gee, you've got all your money back, and then, of course, they've done nothing yet to get you to the extra round, the extra 100% of profit. If we were looking for on a $100,000 investment, we were looking to get 200 out to double our money. That's the finish line, or that should be the finish line, or at least you're getting to the close to the end of the race. And at that point, yes, they deserve the fee. If they get you to the 2.0 equity multiple, as far as I'm concerned, they've done their they've gone over and above, and they should get the fee. But not until. And when I hear syndicators complain about, well, you know, I've got overhead, I've got this, I've got that. Hey, so do the other guys. How are they doing it? Not only that, if you've done three or four deals already, you've already gotten an extreme amount of fees. Where's that money? That can fund the same folks that you're including now to do the due diligence. So I don't buy it. And I'll continue to tell my clients, hey, you do what you want to do. It's your money. I am not an advisor that picks your investments. I'm an advisor that helps you understand what you're signing up for. And if you don't mind these fees, if you think that those syndicators are so good as you're sitting here, heck, there's a deal out there right now. It's one of the leading syndicators in the country. Two-time award winner, infectious personality. You got to like the guy. And with all the enthusiasm flying around in the air on his webinars, you lose sight of the fact that it's a 10-year period, a 10-year hold before you're going to hit the metrics that he's presenting in that investment seminar. Now, that's not 10 years before he gets his fees. Oh no, we couldn't do that. You know, we can't guarantee your fees or your returns, but we can guarantee my fees. I'm going to get it on day zero, which is when I'm walking out of closing. And if you think that's a good investment in the day of disinflation, I don't even know who can see 3 years down the road, much less 10. And that deal, by the way, is very much backloaded. They're counting on a lot of market cooperation. Hey, we all are. And that should mean the syndicator has his fees subject to market cooperation. And I'm telling you, until I get more and more syndicators that are making deals available, I will call this out. We'll talk about this often. If you don't understand it this show, listen to the next one, listen to the next one. We're going to get it to where you can pick out the worst offenders of diluting your capital so that it reduces the odds. It enhances the odds. The odds are already at least 50-50 that you're not going to get to the finish line and generate the 2x equity multiple over each 36 or 3.6 years that, you know, it would take to double your money. The odds are already stacked against you. So why are you going to make them higher, to let these huge fees be taken out, and then there is no magic pixel dust, as I've said many times, that can be sprayed across these transactions to generate these returns. You got to grind it out. You got to get the NOI up far over where it was when you bought the property. You got the market cooperation has to be there. You have to have a buyer that sees the value in your NOI, because the buyer is the one determining. I say that is actually more of a market collective buyer determination that effectively sets a cap rate, which is, you know, how we value these apartments. It's cap rate and NOI are the two big variables, and unfortunately the syndicator can only work on one of those. They can work on the NOI, and again, a lot of market cooperation when you're looking into the eye of the storm as we are now. By the way, the other thing that stresses the odds here is almost every loan that's going in place now on these transactions is what we call a bridge type loan. 3-year term, you have to refinance, and if you don't, you pay 1%. Now think about this: on a $100 million loan, you're going to pay $1 million, the partnership is. That's another dilution to your capital, if you think about it. That means you got to make still another $1 million to be able to return money to the passive. Syndicator's already got his, or he's getting it off the top, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, 1-year extensions, normally these 3-year bridge loans have 2 1-year extensions available. So there's another $2 million. So by the time you add that to the $3 million in fees, you're at 30% capital dilution, roughly a third. And that's what you don't read in the PPMs. It doesn't start off saying, oh, yeah, Mr. Investor, understand that your $100,000 investment is really only about 60. And by the way, that doesn't count the promote. The 20% promote in some cases are 30. So you can knock it down another 20%. You're on a 20% promote, which is a relatively tame one these days. 30-35% is very common now. That means your capital has been diluted to the 50% or lower mark. That's a big deal. And if that's the kind of deals you want to invest in, hey, go for it. But if you're working with this accountant, don't say you weren't warned, because you will be warned. You're going to know exactly what you're signing up for. And if you're comparing it to putting money in a money market account, hey, I get it. You're going to make more than that. Maybe, you know, maybe we will. Who knows? But don't forget, the apartment deal doesn't have the backing of the FDIC. Not that that's worth a whole lot when if all the banks go under. But bottom line is, the apartment deal does not have the full faith and credit of the U.S. government behind it, which I would argue, hey, if you're going to invest in T-bills and make peanuts, at least you've got the assurance for what that's worth, that you'll get your money back. But I look at these deals, they're being stretched so thin, and the only people that are really assured of getting their money are the guys that are leading the transaction, and yet there's still transactions out there where the leaders don't get their money if or until you get your money. And I think that's a fair alignment of the interest, the economic interest of both the lead partner and the passive. That I'm going to wrap up with just telling you again, if anyone out there is interested in these real estate private partnership syndications, you don't have anyone effectively that can help you understand what you're signing up for. That's really my sole mission in life. And then we move well past the signing up stage. Each year we'll be looking at how these assets perform and giving you an independent review analysis of how they perform versus the lead partner. In any event, we will be back next Saturday at 5 p.m. with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. If you have questions, feel free to text me, 713-581-0195, or send me an email, info@npross.com.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.